This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. We are going to continue this political discussion very shortly because, as all of us know, we're celebrating Malaysia Day tomorrow. And that is a day marked Sabah and Sarawak as equal partners to the Federation of Malaya under the Malaysia Agreement back in 1963. But there still remains many, many issues. And I think it's worthy of a political, a deeper political conversation.
Yes, but you know, because how many times have the people of Sabah and Sarawak heard the same message, especially with Malaysia Day all around, that the government is going to look at it and resolve these issues, right? And the issues are plenty. With all revenue, immigration, development, autonomy, and even secession have become louder over the years, but really with no solution in sight. So will the three states finally see eye to eye under this new administration?
Well, to help us answer that and, of course, discuss MA63 in greater detail is Dr. Anil Puyo, who's a political analyst from the University of Malaysia, Sarawak. Thanks for joining us again, Doc. Now, how has the change in Prime Minister and the government affected politics in East Malaysia, or have things pretty much remained the same?
Well, I think it looks like it is business as usual in Sabah and Sarawak. Of course, initially, there were talks that we are going to have a DPM from East Malaysia. This is what a lot of people really wanted the federal government to consider, given that they have been together since 1963. And also, people want this to happen to give recognition for Sabah and Sarawak, and to reflect Sabah and Sarawak's status as equal partners in the federation. But for me, it remains to be seen whether Dato' Sabri will see more significant policy shift when it comes to managing the Sabah and Sarawak affairs. So I think it is pretty much easy. It's too early to see in terms of the kind of policy that this new government and Dato' Sabri will introduce when it comes to Sabah and Sarawak.
Can I get your perspective, right? What are these like easier policies that they could implement, you know, in the immediate term, that's kind of linked or part of MA63?
Well, I would expect the present government to continue with what the previous government did, because we know that there is this council on MA63, which was established under Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. But then we have not heard much about it after Muhyiddin's resignation. I think what is important for the present government to focus on is to look into the ways how to decentralize more power to Sabah and Sarawak, especially in areas where there is obvious application of jurisdiction and delay in the implementation of federal policy. So I'm not saying that it is an easy thing to do, but at least what the present government needs to look into really, really seriously is to see whether or not there is a need to continue with the establishment of federal agencies in Sabah and Sarawak, or whether it's time to let Sabah and Sarawak to run their own affairs independently.
And will the signing of this historic MOU between the government and the opposition actually allow this to happen?
Yes, I think because there is a certain clause and provision in the MOU saying that they're going to look into MA63 really, really seriously. But I think by the end of the day, the devil is in the details, you know. When we talk about MA63, it is not just enough to look at the agreement itself. So we are also have this IGC report, the Intergovernmental Committee report, that's number one, and also the provisions given to Sabah and Sarawak when it comes to, in terms of their rights and privileges. So I think all this must come together. All this must be brought into the negotiating table. All this needs to be ironed out, to be discussed in detail between the state government of Sabah and Sarawak and the federal government.
As you rightly said, the devil is in the detail. And earlier on, you did reference that what we want to do is less federal government agencies in Sabah and Sarawak. What kind of functions and roles do we think that could potentially get the Sabah and Sarawak government to kind of take over education, economic-related functions?
Yeah, I would say in terms of the approval of infrastructure-related projects, you know, because we have heard that most of this needs to be approved by Putrajaya, the construction of schools or bridges and things like that. And then the State Civil Service has to consult with Putrajaya and things like that. So, and also we see this duplication in terms of jurisdiction between federal and state agencies or ministries. So I think this has to be really discussed so that the implementation of policy can be done smoothly at the state level. So that is why I've been proposing a state relation, a state-federal relation committee to be established. And this is not a one-off kind of a thing like the council. So this has to be there permanently, probably under the Prime Minister's Department, to look into all these issues in terms of the application of responsibility and tasks.
Now, Doc, the interesting observation is that actually if you look at the number of MPs from Sabah and Sarawak, it's almost more than 50, and the simple majority in Parliament is 112, which shows that there is a lot of political, I would say, power coming from the East Malaysian states. So do you think that will change the course or maybe force these issues more to the fore going forward?
Yeah, that's I think that's pretty, really important to recognize the presence of Sabah and Sarawak MPs. That is why I think it is very important that we go away from the rhetoric. We do not focus too much our discussion on history. And we need to stop this blame game, blaming the federal government on what is happening, what happens to Sabah and Sarawak. So I think we have to really study the document, the MSCC3, really study the federal constitution, and also start to talk about how do we improve policy, how do we improve implementation. So there's a lot of good policy when it comes to Sabah and Sarawak, but I think when it comes to, if you go here, We see this there's this problem in terms of implementation, and politics I think has made it even worse. So that is why I think we need to sit down, look at the issues where we have not been able to solve. As I mentioned to you earlier, the main issue I think is the lack of communication between the federal and state of the government. Number one, number two. There is this duplication of administration. And number three, there is this lack of clarity in terms of policy implementation. So I think this has to be solved between the federal and the state governments.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Arnold Puyok, who is the political analyst from University of Malaysia, Sarawak, going into the weeds with regards to MA63 and reminding us perhaps not the easiest thing to be resolved, although actually when you think about it from a political perspective, there are more 56 MPs from the East Malaysian states.
Exactly. I think it's nearly one quarter of the August House.
Yeah, 222 seats, right, in total. So perhaps a resolution. And I think I like his point about moving away from the history, moving away from the blame game and trying to get it sorted out and moving away from the rhetoric.
I'm quite keen to see what 12th MP looks like for Sabah and Sarawak. How will they structure and give empowerment to the state governments in making decisions on how they reallocate that funding? Because as he was saying, right, the power is on how you do the execution and implementation. So, you know, do you still have to go back every day to Putrajaya if you want to build this road or build that road and build that development? And that's what touches people's lives there.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.